Fuck, you believe this? 2 fucking days and nights. Fuck me! Fuck me, you motherfucker! Fuck my mother! That's what you fucking tell me! Motherfucker, you, huh? Oh, God. Give me the fucking name!
Charlie M.
Charlie M?
Charlie M?
Charlie M? You make me pop your fucking eye out of your head to protect that piece of shit! Charlie M? You dumb motherfucker!
Holy shit, man. I feel like my head is about to explode. Feels like it's my head is in one of those vice grips, like in the movie Casino. You know, where they put that Irish mob guy in the head vice grip and then it's just squeezing. And it's like, you protecting. Who sent you? He's like, Charlie M. Charlie M? Your fucking eyes are coming out for that piece of shit, Charlie M? That's how I feel right now. It's check my temp this morning. It's 100, but I'm going to the doctor this morning. Goodness, it's just been a travesty this whole week. I'm hoping that I can get a Z-Pack. That usually does the trick, because at this rate, I'm not going to go anywhere. You know, I have plans to go up to Tampa, see friends, touch base. You have a lot of the guys that are getting together. It's always a good time just to see them and touch base, because those times now are few and far in between. As our kids get older, responsibilities grow. It's just the circle of life, and we're not allowed to be thinking that we could hang out with each other all the time. But yeah, I was gonna see some people on Friday and Saturday, and but at this rate, man, holy cow, I'm hurting. Woo! So I'm hoping that Z-Pack, if they give me one, it'll do the trick. Otherwise, I may have to bail out. But yeah, and then you know, I found out through the grapevine. We already had a hunch, suspicion anyway. You know, that there were gonna be some people invited that I'm just not trying to be around. It's one of those deals that it's when you're around, when you're trying to have a good time, right, and you're going to be around people that are just party killers, people that just really suck that energy out of you. It just becomes about them, or whatever energy they bring. It's just not something that you want to be around, right? It makes it very, it makes the decision easier for me at this stage to just not go at all. And I think that's, but I have a perfect excuse. And I'll never understand that, because I guess the way I look at it with my friends and people that I know and respect, I think if I know something bothers them, right, I try to do it in a way where I'm respecting their boundaries. I'm always mindful and respectful of the boundaries as far as how I talk to them, what I can say and not say, you know, so on and so forth. So I think that what I realized after, you know, I separated and moved on and was trying to reconnect with a lot of friends, is that I enabled a lot of people, and they were accustomed to just doing things their way, the way they desired. It was one of those things that I always adapted. So, and I realized that, okay, I can't be living that way anymore. It's bothering me now. And now that I'm doing something, I'm not taking one. Essentially, I'm not taking one for the team anymore. And that sounds selfish. That sounds like you definitely change the tune, and you should be able to do that, especially when the group gets together. But when there is a history of no compromising and no trying to meet you at the middle ground, so, and you know, no one's told me anything, but I have a hunch. I that's one thing about me. I usually have a hunch about these things. I remember in college, there was this one guy. I would, you know, when you have a car in college or you're able to drive somebody in college, you're a golden ticket. Because there's so many people that don't have cars or can't even drive. And people are always asking you, hey, man, can you take me to the store? Hey, man, can you do this? Hey, man, can you do that? Always asking for rides. And I was one of those guys. Everyone asked me for rides. No problem, right? But then I realized with this one guy in particular, I decided to ask him, okay, well, let's return the favor. Why don't you go ahead? And I needed to get a haircut. And I said, hey, buddy, let me use your clippers. And he goes, you know, you see these clippers, they don't cut your hair. Really? So your regular barbershop clippers don't cut my hair. Yikes. What a grand excuse. That was his nice way of saying, I'm not going to let you borrow my clippers. And he goes, yeah, you know, so-and-so got clippers. And ever since that day, I was like, nope, I'm not talking to that guy. Well, I'm keeping him at arm's length. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, we can hang out, no problem. He's cool. right? But when it comes to doing something for him, I'm going to whistle Dixie. I hear you. Because you know how people are, and that's just selfish in nature. So I've always followed my gut instinct when it comes to people and how they exude their allegiance with you or how they care about you. They exude it. They show it through their actions, right? So I just got to a point where I've accepted such things, and now I view the landscape, and I say, okay, well, this is a possibility of happening. These people, I think, are probably going to be there. I'm not going to have a good time, and I'm probably going to leave. And, heck, it's a 2.5-hour drive for me to and from. It's not something that I want to waste 5 hours of my life trying to coordinate sleeping and drinking and, you know, spending all these costs to be around an environment just to take one for the team. Not doing that. And I think the cool thing about it is that, in addition to that, not cool, but it's just always fascinating that they haven't even acknowledged it to me. Because I think they know that if I find out that, okay, so-and-so is going, right, they know I'm not going to be around. So I think what happens is, you know, the boy's going to be like, well, we're not going to tell him these people are going to be there. And then when he gets here, we'll say, oh, man, we just didn't know. We didn't invite them. You know, whatever line they come up, concoct, that makes somewhat some sense. And I'm not saying that it isn't true, but they knowing that I don't want to be around certain people, they couldn't convey that to me as a disclaimer, meaning they couldn't say, hey, Minnow, I know you're coming up this weekend. You know, so-and-so is going to be here. Just want to let you know, give you a heads up. And they didn't do that. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we'll deal with it if it's there. But I know just from the history of everything that everyone's going to be together. And I'm just scratching my head. I'm like, dude, like, I don't want to be around that nonsense. I'm out of here. You know, that train has left the station. And that's why I've become just very alienated or very distant with certain people. Not in a bad way, like I said earlier. It's just more of like, you know, I'll deal with you at my convenience when my schedule allows, because that's just the way you handle me. That's the way you give me that type of respect. It's all about, because the counter argument to that, I said, come on, Minnow, we don't do this. So-and-so, you know, it's having a big event. This is not going to happen again. You know, they try to give you that guilt trip angle, but, and I'm okay with that, but at least let me know, have the decency to tell me, hey, so-and-so may show up, just to let you know. You know, we're not trying to see them. We're not trying to hang out with those boys. But, you know, just in case, you know, you should be aware of it. And we got whiff of it that they're going to come through, possibly. And I'm like, okay. You know, so at least they give me that heads up. But when quote-unquote friends don't do that for you, just kind of keep you hush-hush. And then they'll kind of tell me probably on Saturday when I'm there. And just kind of shock me. You know, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I'll be one of those guys that's just, as soon as that happens, first of all, if I feel good, because right now I feel like shit. Like, I want to see my brother Slow P, for sure. I want to see what that VR is all about. And worst case scenario, I'll hang out with him. If his significant other and his family allow me, you know, I'll crash there all weekend. I love hanging out, and it's simple. And, you know, whether it's hanging out with the kids, hanging out with the family, I hate being the third wheel, but, you know, I don't mind it. It's something to do, something chill. You know, I don't think I'm annoying, I think. Maybe. I haven't gotten that survey back. I should ask for those surveys, though, from those dates, though. Like, I had some people that I met just recently. Like, we just had sit-down talk, and they just never reached out again. Like, holy shit. What the fuck am I saying? You know, it's no different than what I'm saying here. Right? Maybe I need to be a little more coy. It's like, they're like, wow, you're cool, and all this stuff, and they just disappear. I'm like, great. I don't know what to say. I don't know. You know, it's no hope. Like I was telling Slow P, man, I'm going to get a dog at the very end when I'm like 7 years left. Let's say I made it to 65. I'm like, okay, now it's time to get a dog because I'm not going to make it past 70. So I got a good 5-7 years of, you know, love, unconditional love and support, man. Kick the fucking chair like the Godfather at the end, part 3. If that part where he's just sitting in the chair, he's got a little dog next to him in Italy. And then he just hunches over and just rolls over, man. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. That's how I feel my life's going to be, just simple and painless, hopefully. And, yeah, so, you know, I just, I'm definitely on the way to go see my brother and hang out with him and his family for every time they can tolerate me, whatever things they're doing. But, Yeah, but I don't – it's one of those, it'll be a wait and see. But it goes back to just respect. You know, people are selfish in nature. I deal with people all the time that are selfish. And they know they're aware. They're very cognizant that they're selfish. But they're so comfortable in that space that they're not going to do anything about it to change it. And that's where, you know, that's where you have to make a decision as a person dealing with that, you know, with that other part. It's like, okay, this person is selfish. This person feels as if the world revolves around them and their views and how they do things and how they communicate. So now you disagree with it. So now it's your decision, meaning me, and decide what I want to do. Do I want to tolerate it at their level, or do I just cut bait from time to time? Do I just go ahead and give a timeout, or do I just not appear altogether? So these are the things that's the process I go through, unfortunately. And again, it just never ceases to amaze me how so-called friends, you know, people that I care about, people that I've done things with, have a history with, just are not able to communicate something that simple because they're afraid that I'm not going to show up. And it's true. I may not show up, but the respect is there. And I think that's the thing, is that at least show the respect that you're caring for me as a friend enough to know that bothers me. Just like if I know something bothers you, you come in to visit me, we're going to be around some people you don't like, we're going to be around something that you may not want to do, I'll let you know. It's like, hey, listen, we may be around this. What are your thoughts? Right? I mean, and we'll come to a common ground, and I'll battle you for a little bit. I'll say, okay, well, you know, listen, we'll just hang out for a little bit. I know it's uncomfortable, but we'll go ahead and skedaddle out. All right? That's what we'll do. Whatever it is, whatever resolution you want to come up with, I think there's something to be discussed. But at the end, you show that you care. And I think most people, again, are just not aware of handling such things. They run. You know, they go away. It's just like in dating. You know, and I've adapted that as well. It's like, I just ghost people now. Like, I'm not going to give you the benefit of the doubt. It's just a shrewd game out there, where I don't have to give you accountability. I don't have to give you anything. And I've done that. You know, now, granted, the only thing is with me, I would say that if I've had sex with you, then I will let you know. But if I had not had sex with you, we haven't fucked or anything, done anything sexual, then I'm not going to give you the benefit of giving you a call, giving you a message, whatever it is. The game is a game, yo. That's how ugly it is. It's been done to me way more than I've done it. But I have no shame in it, and I think that's just part of respect and part of how we handle things in this day and age, man. It's rough, but not as rough as this fucking headache or virus I have, Jesus.
Oh, shit, Pops, what you doing?
Son, what the hell you down here doing?
Pops, I'm down here with my girl.
You got a girl under there.
Pops!
Pull the cover back.
My girl right here. Wow! You down here with a motherfucking blow-up guy!
Never ever seen you act like this.
I don't know what's your deal, but that bitch not even real.
She feel real.
Pops, just come try it.
Try it?
Who told your dumb ass to buy it?
Me and her getting married.
Married? What is you saying? The bitch ain't got no hands.
You acting different.
Damn it, tell the bitch to blink. Or wait. I didn't think so.
Pops, I'm getting her pregnant.
Have a baby? You had to be born in the 80s. You sound like a crack baby.
You cutting up.
You got DSS.
What's DSS?
Drastic syndrome.
Why you judging me?
Since you want to have sex with dolls, let me see your stroke.